Hi there, it's Virginia from Word of Mouth. You know what the best part of this story is? It was here when you were ready to listen to it. Radio on demand. Right now, we need you to be here for us because your financial support is what keeps it all going.
Word of Mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. There is something mysterious about root vegetables. That glorious show of budding and flowering and forming fruit ripe for the plucking that gardeners so enjoy plays out underground. You see the leaves and maybe the broad shoulders of a beet, but you don't know what you have until you tug it out. Once exposed, we know what to do with a potato or a carrot, but little about the furtive burdock root, salsify, or malanga. Diane Morgan digs deep into the secrets of this nutritious family of foods that are low in calories and easy on the wallet. Her new cookbook, Roots, the definitive compendium, presents 225 recipes to unlock the flavors and charms of the elusive root. Diane Morgan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Root vegetables kind of get a bad rap, Diane, for being dull and stodgy and brown. So make the case for us for roots.
I know. They're sort of ugly creatures when you see them in the market. They don't stand up against the lovely squashes with their speckled skins. But what's underneath those gnarly roots and those tendrils that sometimes are crusted with dirt is an incredible nutritious flesh that you pare away the outside. I'm thinking of celery root that you trim the top and bottom. You pare away that outside skin, and what you have is this blonde, gorgeous flesh that you can eat raw or you can prepare cooked, and it's so versatile. You know, something as simple as a potato, we scrub off and we can bake it and, you know, we can slice it and put it on the grill. They're incredible. They're cheap. They're nutritious. And it's what gets us through the winter months.
It does, certainly up here. It's a lifeline, I think, for local food fans seeing this book, because pretty much the only fresh food that can be stored over a New England winter is the root vegetable. You have some tips in the book for creating a root cellar, including the biggie. They cannot go on a cement cellar floor. So how do you create this kind of cradle of dirt that roots need to stay fresh?
Well, often, now I live in Portland, Oregon, so the challenge for us is that you can't dig down because the water table is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And so in New England, you're much luckier because in the Midwest, because, I mean, that's where root cellars were really built. If you have an earthen floor, sometimes it's helpful to just put some hay down, something that will keep the vegetables dry. You don't want to put roots near apples. You want to contain them themselves, sometimes just having newspaper crumbled up, something that keeps them moisture wicked away is what's helpful. But honestly, if you don't even have those conditions, a good old refrigerator is perfectly fine.
Well, we see in this book there are loads of, you do them alphabetically, actually. Daikon root, jicama, yucca, a lot of things that many people have never seen before. I kind of imagine bringing this book into the supermarket so we can actually tell what kind of roots we're looking at. How do you learn about all these?
Well, it was interesting. It took not only the research of in the culinary genre, but it took almost a botany course as well, and a lot of self-study, because roots will have many names. You know, I'll reference celery root again, which is celeriac, and it's labeled different things in the market. And even though that one's perhaps more obvious, there's lots that aren't. Malanga is a real...
That's one I thought of. And that's something I've eaten in South America, West Africa, and Cuba. There are songs written about in praise of this starchy wonder. But I wondered, is it the same thing as taro? It has a number of different names.
Right, and it's not the same as taro, and it took me a while to figure out because it was mislabeled. Sometimes they're and they have similarities in the way the skin looks and and how they're sort of hairy on the outside, but they're different. They're two different roots, and both equally delicious. I kind of fell in love with malanga because it's so high in starch that when you make a fritter out of it, it crisps up and stays crisp.
You also give us some notes on this one. Don't eat it raw and wear gloves when peeling. Why?
Well, it has these little fibers, oxalic acid, that's within the root, and that all gets tamed away and once you've cooked it. But raw, it actually could irritate the throat. And I just found while I was working with it that it was easier on my hands to wear the gloves. Same with taro. Some of these roots have just these little, like, prickly hairs that just, it's just safer to wear gloves with them.
We're speaking with the culinary author and instructor, Diane Morgan. She's talking about her newest cookbook, Roots. It's a compendium and recipe collection for foods that bring out the flavor and mystery of the nutritious and extremely economical taproots, tubers, and rhizomes we may already know or actually want to know. Okay, so just because I want to say it, scorzonera. Or salsify.
Oh, that's great.
What can we do with these long, skinny roots?
Well, they typically, you peel them and you put them in acidulated water as you're working with them because they tend to start to brown, just like a potato would. And they're incredible if you quickly blanch them. And they can be done in a sauté. They can be roasted. I love them. They have a bit of a oyster flavor. And so I did a pairing with oysters. I made an oyster stew with it. So the texture is just lovely. It doesn't break down like a potato. And it has this nice sort of tender crunch to it that, you know, you still get the crispness, but it's tender to the bite.
You often use root vegetables as a substitute for pasta. Any recipes that you can think of that would satisfy that craving for, you know, a big steaming hot bowl of pasta?
Well, let's see. I combined Jerusalem artichokes, actually. Now, I did include pasta with it, but Jerusalem artichokes are going to come into season here if they aren't already in your markets. They're just starting to come on in ours.
Almost here, not quite.
Okay, and I did a play on them with artichoke hearts, and I combined them with linguine. So you're actually using less pasta than you might in a main course of pasta, but you've combined it with the nutritious root and the artichoke hearts. So it was a total play on just the one artichoke. Real is an artichoke and the other one that isn't, but is called that.
You know, Diane, it's funny looking at these beautiful photographs of your recipes and also the roots themselves. They're such strange, as you mentioned, gnarly, you know, kind of ancient looking things that are connected maybe deeper to something in us psychologically. And Deborah Madison writes about that in the foreword. Do you think that is behind your fascination with roots?
I do. I just finished writing an essay for an online blog, and it's exactly what I was writing about, because when I see horseradish in the market or I see beets, all I can think about are my grandparents, because my grandfather grew horseradish. If we didn't cry at Passover from his freshly grated horseradish, then it wasn't, you know, it's sort of grandpa, it's perfect, you know, because we're all tearing. And for my grandmother, she always made pickled beets for my father because he adored them, and my mom didn't particularly like beets. So it was sort of this generational split, and I adore beets. And so I do, I think about that. I think about rutabagas, parsley root. My grandmother used to make chicken soup with parsley root in it, and it's just, the farmers are bringing these back. You're seeing them in CSA boxes, and I think it's just circular now. You know, we're expanding out from the ho-hum normal vegetables we see in the supermarket and getting all these old traditional roots back that we let go of and are wonderful to plant and eat.
Kind of a coming out party for roots, I think.
a great description. I love that.
Diane Morgan, I want to thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Diane Morgan knows where your food comes from, the ground. And she is an award-winning writer and restaurant consultant and author of 14 cookbooks, most recently Roots, the definitive compendium. For links to more in the book, including some rootsy recipes, you can visit wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find links or follow us or post your thoughts on Facebook.